The following is a segment from the Education Gadfly Show. Visit edexcellence.net to listen to full episodes or to sign up for the print edition of the Education Gadfly. For quicker delivery of the podcast, subscribe to us on iTunes.
Welcome back to the show, Amber.
Thank you, Mike.
How was Turkey Day for you?
Oh, man, I was telling Rick, two meals back to back.
Really? On the same day?
No, Thursday afternoon, Friday afternoon.
Oh, you're so lucky. I love the double Thanksgiving, and I have not had it in a couple of years. Now, you're a Southern, I was going to say Southern girl, that would be inappropriate, Southern woman.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a fried turkey in
the
mix?
No, but my dad actually did fry a turkey 2 years ago, and it was delish, moist. You don't realize it's grease you're eating, you know? Yeah. It just tastes moist.
Yeah. This was a fringe thing only a few years ago. Now it's gone mainstream. Yeah.
I've never had fried turkey.
Yeah.
But, you know, Olivia Meeks, who's with me for a long time, who's my co-author on Your Piece.
Yeah.
She fried turkey. Her whole family got sick.
Submerged.
Is that right? No kidding.
Really?
Is that right?
Yeah.
What kind of oil? Because that's key.
I don't know. They do it every year. It sounds like this was the first time they got
my
sick.
My dad uses peanut oil.
Nice.
Is that what you recommend?
A huge vat. I mean, you submerge the entire turkey in this oil.
And how do you get it out of the giant vat of boiling oil?
There's some kind of tool you lift it out with. Yeah.
It's like a winch?
I don't really recall what it looked like.
It's good for the economy because so many houses burned down as a result of this process that it's good for the building.
Do you do this like in the backyard?
My dad lives out in the country. Yes, he takes it outside. He does.
Did you eat outside or did you bring the turkey inside?
No, we didn't. We're not that country back redneck. We ate inside.
Did he shoot the turkey himself?
No, he did not shoot the turkey himself.
But did it have a face?
He does live in Corapeak, North Carolina, and Joe has given us the sign to hurry the heck up.
All right. Well, we've taken your entire minute on that. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time, Amber. Just kidding. What you got for us this week?
New NPR paper by Eric Hanischek and Ludger Wussman.
Do you want them again? Huh?
Hey.
What is up with those
you
guys?
You cannot, don't ask me any complicated methods questions because, does school autonomy make sense everywhere is their question. Pretty simple answer, but anyway, let's walk through this. They seek to answer whether school-level autonomy is conducive to high student achievement in various countries. Obviously, an important governance question. They examine PISA data from 42 countries, 1 million students, four waves of testing, 2000 to 2009, control for various things at the country level, blah, blah, blah. In the end, they find the autonomy in the areas of academic content, personnel, and budget affect student achievement negatively in developing and low-performing countries, but positively in developed and high-performing countries. In other words, countries with strong institutions gain from decentralized decision-making in their schools, while countries that lack strong institutions and structures are hurt by decentralized decision making. Autonomy effects become more positive with increasing GDP. The negative effect in developing countries emerges mostly from autonomy in the areas of academic content, which includes ability of the principal to decide the courses offered, the content offered, and which textbooks are used.
So I got to ask, which are we? Are we a low-performing developing country or a high-performing developed country?
I think we were middle of the road. I have my list here, but anyway.
Right. So what do we do? Are we supposed to have autonomy or not?
Look at this. Always frustrated in our search for answers.
We were high income, actually.
High income.
Yeah.
But not high-performing.
Hold on. Let me look at my list.
Do any of us believe that we can answer this kind of question with PISA data?
I don't.
Yeah.
How about you?
No, not really.
We were fairly high performing, actually. 492. That's not too shabby.
So that's one of the big questions for the United States. But I guess this is similar. If you take this analogy and you look at it nationally, I would imagine the same kind of thing applies. If you're talking about a dysfunctional school system, then just turning over more authority at the school level, it's probably not going to get you very far. But if you're in a system where there's a lot of capacity, the principals have been well trained, there's capacity in the system, then freeing people up to do their good work makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's right. It depends on the quality of your human capital.
Right.
So, and also whether people are going to engage in sort of, these opportunistic or self-interested, kind of behaviors, in terms of if you're really undeveloped country, what are these people going to do? I mean, you wonder whether they're going to, kind of behave responsibly with that responsibility. So
in terms of who they're giving jobs to.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, look, I have a lot of respect for Rick Hanischek and for Ludger Wussmann. But look, I, like, you know, Mark Schneider wrote a great piece on PISA a couple of years ago and the limits of what you can do with these kinds of international data. I mean, clearly this is a trend. We've seen tons of studies coming out in the last couple of years, comparative education. The impulse makes sense. I mean, of course, we should learn from the rest of the world. But as Rick, you pointed out this week, it's very hard to disentangle all the factors, and it's very easy for people to cherry pick and to find evidence that supports their position.
Having come from China, I thought, what can we take from that? Like, scratching my head. There was very few lessons I thought that we could really take away from.
I don't know. Did you read Mark Tucker's new book, Beating Vision?
I did read it. I have it on my desk. I think there's some good information in there, but I think, yes, we should be cautious about applying it to our country.
I don't know. I mean, in the book, he suggests that we know what works. We just got to be willing to do it.
You know what works?
Some of that.
Ping pong. Ping pong works. We need more competitive table tennis here in the United States.
And that's what China, they're doing it over there. Yeah. There.
All right. Thank you, Amber. So what song goes along with this study?
So, you know, we're going to discontinue songs at the beginning of the new year. So don't want any flack on my choice of songs because this is a little bit of a stretch. But since we're talking about wealthy and poor countries, we have Rich Girl by Hall & Oates.
You're a rich girl and you're gone too far because you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl, but it's gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. Say money, money won't get you too far, get you too far.